Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. Now, Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, we give you praise for now it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Read from verse 15 of that same chapter. Galatians 6:15. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. You see that? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, that is, it does not matter. Praise the Lord. What matters is what? A new creation. Praise the Lord. 16 says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Praise the Lord. God wants the word, the fourth part, right? This part of the teaching is exploring the church as the Israel of God. Praise the Lord. In relation to our responsibilities, which we inherited, amen, with our blessings in Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we receive righteousness, right? To be heirs of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Just like Abraham, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. So we've seen quite a number of things. We began a bit of an examination on the message of the early church, right? We asked the question that what exactly did the early church preach? What exactly did the early church understand to be the gospel? Whatever their message is will be consistent with the message of Jesus, because Hebrews 2 verse 3 tells us that how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. You see that? Okay, by the Lord, that is Jesus, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. The apostles heard their message from Jesus. They got their message from him. And Jesus the Christ got his own message from the Old Testament. Luke 24 verse 27 makes that clear. After his resurrection, Jesus meets with his disciples and teaches them from the Old Testament. He says, "I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that is Genesis to Malachi. He expounded to them in all those scriptures, that is Genesis to Malachi, the things concerning himself." So that means that whatever they preached will be found where? In the Old Testament scriptures. Do you get it? Okay, from Genesis to Malachi. So we began a bit of examination on their message. We've seen quite a number of them, right? We've examined the first five sermons in the book of Acts. Acts 2:14 to 40. Peter on the day of Pentecost, right? He gets up and he preaches the gospel and 3,000 men are saved. Interestingly, he preaches from Genesis to Malachi. Praise the Lord. Acts 3:12 to 26. Peter again preaching there at Solomon's porch after healing the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. In Acts 4:8 to 12, you find Peter and John preaching before the Jewish council. In Acts 5:29 to 32, you find there the apostles before the Jewish council again. Then in Acts chapter 7, you find there Stephen's great sermon. That's what I call it. Praise the Lord. Stephen's great sermon before the Jewish council. And you observe that, interestingly, it is the Jews who persecuted the church the most in the book of Acts. Interestingly. Okay, so you find ethnic Israel fighting against the true Israel. You follow that? Okay. Now, in this service, we proceed further to Peter's sermon at the house of Cornelius. So we're back to Peter again. Amen. Okay, Peter's sermon at the house of Cornelius. Anyone who reads the book of Acts, you realize that Luke had a bias as he wrote. Luke focuses on the ministries of Peter and Paul. Amen. It begins with Peter's ministry primarily to the Jewish people. Then he ends with Paul's ministry primarily to the Gentiles. Amen. So here we find Peter's sermon at the house of Cornelius. Now here's a bit of a background for you. Number Acts chapter 10, the gospel had been preached to a considerable extent. Okay, so several people had heard the gospel, several people had believed the gospel, okay, and it had gone into the land of Jerusalem. But there was one problem. One problem. The early church still hadn't preached to Gentiles. Follow that? Except Philip in Acts chapter 8, who preached at Samaria. Okay, so a majority of the missionary work of the early church was directed toward the Jews. Is that God's plan? No. God wants the word, right? The gospel to go to both the Jew and the Gentile. Now in Acts chapter 10, God then orchestrates a series of events, okay, to show that salvation was for the Gentiles also. Let's follow the story. Are you there? Acts 10. Okay. Now Cornelius is described as a good man who feared God. Hallelujah. He was a good man who feared God, and he was also a Gentile. Look at Acts 10:1. Acts 10:1. It says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God. Underline that, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously. Underline that, gave alms generously to the people and prayed. Underline prayed to God always. So you see that Cornelius is a good guy, right? He performed good works. He feared God. He gave and he prayed. Okay, but you notice that even his good works could not save him, right? So an angel of the Lord is sent to him to show him his need for salvation. Verses 3 to 6, you see that there? It says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now do you observe that this angel did not preach to Cornelius, right? Rather, he tells Cornelius to call for a preacher, right? In the New Testament, men preach the gospel, not angels. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you see that Cornelius heeds the angel's voice. He heeds the voice of the angel. Verses 7 to 9 of that same chapter. It says, and when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now that is 12 noon. Okay. Now the Jews had two periods of prayer in the day. You follow that? The Jewish people had two periods of prayer in the day, the morning and the evening. But the devout Jews also prayed in the afternoon. Follow that? And usually this was accompanied by fasting as a part of their devotion. You see that King David did that. Psalm 55 verse 17. It says, evening and morning and at noon, underline that, okay, evening, morning, at noon, I will pray. You see that? And cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel did similarly. Daniel 6 verse 10. Daniel 6 10. It says, but when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times. Underline that, okay? Three times that day, that is morning, afternoon, and evening. Do you get it? And prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since earlier days. You see that his conspirators said this about him in verse 13. It says, so they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition. Now what's that? Prayers. Okay, he makes his petition three times a day. On the line from makes to day, okay? So that is what Peter was doing in Acts chapter 10. You get it now? Okay, now see verse 10, Acts chapter 10. Now Peter sees a vision. He says, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell in a trance. Now that's a vision, okay? And saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and led down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, Lord, for I have not eaten anything common or unclean. Okay, now this reveals the Jewish side to Peter. The law of Moses prohibited the Jews from eating certain kinds of food. Follow that? I find that Deuteronomy 14 verse 3. Let's see that quickly. Please turn about there quickly. Deuteronomy 14 verse 3. Certain kind of food was prohibited for the Jewish people in the law of Moses. Deuteronomy 14 verse 3. It says, you shall not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals which you may eat. Do you see that? Come on. Okay, the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, the mountain sheep, and you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the hooves split into two parts, and that chews the corn among the animals. You see that there? Okay, now see verse 9 as well. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 9. It says, these you may eat of all that are in the waters. You may eat all that has fins and scales, and whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. Come on, do you see that there? Underline that, okay, it is unclean for you. They also could not eat certain kinds of birds as well. Verse 11. It says, all clean birds you may eat, but these you shall not eat. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, in Nigeria we call this bushmeat. Right? We eat everything. Both endangered species as well. We just eat every, call it bushmeat. Praise the Lord. Kill everything, call it bushmeat. So Nigerian would have issue with this. Look at 13. It says, the red kite, the falcon, and the kite after their kinds. Every raven after its kind. 15 says, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk after their kind. The little owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, the carrion vulture, the fisher owl, the stork, the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat. Who is bat here? Okay, just checking. Verse 19. Also, every creeping thing that flies is unclean for you, they shall not be eaten. You see that? So these laws prohibit certain kinds of food for the Jewish people. Now these laws were known as the kosher laws. Amen? K-O-S-H-E-R. The kosher laws, okay, or the Jewish dietary laws. So to the Jews, some animals were unclean. Have you seen that so far? Okay, and should never be associated with. Now what does God do in Acts chapter 10? God uses unclean animals to teach Peter a lesson. Now, you know, Peter was a Jew, right? So Peter, being a Jew, was familiar with the kosher laws. Now, the Jews wouldn't want to touch or associate with anything unclean. And look at verse 15, Acts chapter 10. Are you following this so far? Okay, thank you. Acts 10, verse 15. It says, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Underline that. From what common? Okay, that is unclean. Come on, do you see that there? What God has called clean, you must not call unclean. Now, this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, the unclean animals are a metaphor. You follow that? They are a metaphor for the Gentiles. And do you observe that in this vision, God used imageries that Peter was familiar with? Okay, so in visions, you often have that. Is that clear? You will see pictures that you know. You get it? As well, most times is bad, is not so advisable to ask someone to help you in the prayer visions. Do you get it? It's unique to you. You get it? Okay, or your dreams. You know what you saw. Praise the Lord. You know the interpretation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so these animals are a metaphor for the Gentiles. Now, just like the Jews avoided unclean animals, they also avoided non-Jews. Do you get it? So God is teaching Peter about how he sees the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Then see verse 17. Remember those men from Cornelius, right? Okay, then they finally arrive, and Peter is divinely instructed to follow them. Verses 17 to 23 of that chapter. It says, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men, underline that the men, who had been sent from Cornelius, underline that from Cornelius, had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Simon thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. 20 says, arise therefore, go down, underline that, go down, and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them, underline that, I have sent them. 21, then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? Then they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by an only angel to summon you to his house and to hear words, underline that, to hear words from you. So that angel could not give these words, right? Okay, then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now you see that on getting to Caesarea, Peter is clear that this is new to him. Amen? Associating with Gentiles. Very, very new and novel to Peter. Look at verses 24 to 29. It says, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted himself up, saying, stand up, I also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, now look at this, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. Do you see that? Now, unlawful by who? Do you get it? Who made this unlawful? Underline that, okay? How unlawful it is, underline to keep company with, and underline of another nation, that is non-Jews, right? Or a non-Jew. He says, but, come on, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? From vile to unclean. So that is the interpretation of his vision. He finally got it. Do you see that there? Look at 29. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent forth. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? Then you see that Cornelius recounts his encounter with that angel, verses 30 to 33 of that same chapter. He says, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present. Underline that. We are all present. That is he and his family, he and his household, before God, to hear, underline that, to hear all the things commanded you by God. Isn't that interesting? Observe how eager he is to hear. Now, he's not a Jew. Do you see that? Okay, then Peter begins his sermon at the house of Cornelius. Now, verse 34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Praise the Lord. Underline that, okay? From God to partiality. So he's starting to get it. God does not discriminate. Do you see that? Now that phrase, shows partiality, in the Greek, literally means one who looks at the face. Do you follow that? one who looks at the face. So God is not like that. God doesn't look at people's faces to discriminate. Praise the Lord. Okay, today we say it this way, innocent. Okay, that's what Peter is saying there. You know, this was also said of Jesus, our Lord, Luke 20, verse 21. Let's see that quickly. You may put your hand here, but coming back. Luke 20, verse 21. Just quickly. It says, then they asked him, saying, Teacher, that is Jesus, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism. You see that? Underline that, okay? But teach the way of God in truth. That is, Jesus was impartial in how he dealt with men. Okay, so in Acts 10, verse 34, Peter says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Praise the Lord. So he now understood the error of his racism. Do you see that? And the racism of his people. Praise the Lord. So God was using Cornelius to correct centuries of racism. Centuries carried out by the Jewish people. Okay, so you remember, Peter is a Jew, right? Okay, so he was still thinking like a Jew. Okay, but God uses Cornelius to explain that the gospel is for both Jews and Gentiles alike. Praise the Lord. Okay, it does not show partiality. It does not discriminate. Those who reject the gospel will receive the same punishment, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. It doesn't matter. Look at Romans 2:8. Let's see that quickly. Because I'd like you to turn your Bible there, okay? Romans 2:8. It says, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, underline that, obey the truth, that is, do not believe the gospel, that's what that means, okay, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, that is judgment, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. See that? Underline that, okay, from unto evil of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Come on, underline from that to first. Okay, then also to Greek. That is, no one is exempted. Look at verse 10. It says, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone, not just a Jew. Do you see that? Underline that, okay, everyone who walks what is good. Underline that, what is good. That is faith in context. Okay, to the Jew first, underline that, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Underline that, also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Hallelujah. Learn that, okay, from there to God. So the same rules apply, come on, to the Jew and the Gentile. So God will not save a man simply because he is a Jew. Amen. Both Jews and Gentiles are guilty of sin. Both. Okay, and both of them need God's righteousness. Look at Romans 3:21. Popular text. Most times people don't know what is there. Romans 3 verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law, underline that, apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. 22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith, underline that, through faith, not through heredity, right? Through lineage, through faith in Christ Jesus. To all, see that? Underline that, okay? To all and on all who believe. Hallelujah. Underline that. From on to believe, okay, that is Jew or non-Jew, for there is no difference. Come on, underline that, okay, there is no difference for all. Now, all here contextually is Jew or Gentile. Do you get it? Many people don't know that. All here contextually, in context of chapter 1 and chapter 2, is the Jew and the Gentile. You can say for all, either Jew or Gentile, or both Jew and Gentile have sinned. Do you get it now? Okay, and fall short of the glory of God. So the Jew is not more righteous in God's sight. No, both Jews and Gentiles are sinful and both need to be justified. Okay, God does not discriminate. God will save whoever calls upon him, whether Jew or non-Jew. Look at Romans 10:12. Quickly, Romans 10 verse 12. It says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Can it get clearer than this? Come on. See that? Online from there to Greek, okay, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. On the line from that to him, for whoever, either Jew or Gentile, we can say, on the line that, okay, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Okay, so God shows no personal favors toward any man. No, he doesn't. Look at Galatians 2:6. Galatians 2:6. It says, but from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. You see that? Underline that, okay? From God to man, for those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. So the gospel is for all. Amen. God is for all. Amen. He accepts all men. Amen. He gives favor to all. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he doesn't favor any tribe, right? Or ethnic group above another. He wants the world. Praise the Lord. And you find this right from the Old Testament. It has an Old Testament background. God didn't just become like this in the New Testament. No. Look at Deuteronomy 10 verse 17. Quickly. I want you to say this, okay? Please turn the Bible there. Deuteronomy 10 verse 17. It says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality. You see that there? Underline it, okay? Who shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe. Now, what is he referring to? Now, in context, he's actually referring to how God treats non-Jews. See the next verse, verse 18. It says, he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger. Come on. Underline that, okay? Loves the stranger. Now, that is a non-Jew. Do you get it? Giving them food and clothing. And look at 19. Very interesting. It says, therefore, love the stranger. I don't like that. You wonder, is this in the Jewish Bible? Come on. You wonder, did the Jews read this in their Bible? It says what? Hate the stranger. Hate the non-Jew. Love the stranger. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. On land that, okay, you were strangers. So right from the Old Testament, do you see that? Right from the Old Testament, God loved the Gentiles. And not only that, he instructs his people, the Jews, to do likewise. Do you see that? Okay, now go back to Acts 10, verse 35 now. Acts 10, 35. Peter continues there. He says, but in every nation. Do you see that now? On land that, okay, in every nation, that is even the Gentile nations, whoever fears him and walks righteousness is accepted by him. And you know, this is exactly how Cornelius is described in verse 2, right? He did good deeds, he gave alms, and he prayed. But you notice that his good deeds did not save him, right? He still needed Peter to come to preach. So his good deeds show that he loved God, right? But that is not enough. Come on. So he still needed the gospel. Now, Peter calls that gospel, verses 36 to 37, the word or message which God sent to the children of Israel, underlined from sent to Israel, preaching peace, underlined peace, through Jesus Christ, is Lord of all, underlined Lord. That word, underlined word, that is message, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So originally, the gospel was preached to the Jews. Do you follow that? That's what Peter is saying here. That's why Paul will say things like, to the Jew first, and then for the Greek. Right? Romans 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God of salvation, right? For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And that doesn't mean that God chose the Jews over the Greeks. When it says for the Jew first, no. That is referring to the chronology. Do you follow that? The chronology of how the gospel was preached. So the Jews heard it first. Is that clear? Okay. Then the Greeks or the non-Jews. Do you get it now? Okay. So the message of the gospel is for both those who are near, that is the Jews, and those who are afar off, that is the Gentiles. See Isaiah 57 verse 19. Isaiah 57 verse 19. I wait for you. Are you there? Isaiah 57 verse 19. It says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is afar off, that is the Gentile, and to him who is near, that is the Jew, says the Lord, and I will heal him. You see that? So Isaiah prophesies that the gospel, that is peace there, would reach both. Come on, do you see that there? Those who are far off and those who are near. Alright, then Peter expounds on his message, Acts 10:38. You may put your hand in Acts 10. Do you get it? So we keep going, coming, going, coming, so that your hand, you don't develop muscles in this service. Because you walk your hands too much, you go back, you go, just put your hand there, or you can put your ribbon there, okay? And we turn back there. Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and the power, who went about doing good and healing all were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now here, it makes reference to Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry. Now, first of all, he calls Jesus here anointed, right? Anointed. Now, this brings to mind Luke chapter 4. Now, turn there. Luke 4, verses 17 to 19. Let's see that quickly. Luke 4, 17 to 19. It says, and he there being Jesus, was under the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Come on. Understand that, okay? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, glory of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now he's quoting here Isaiah 61, 1-2. See that? Now where exactly did this anointing take place? Jesus is called the anointed one, right? Now where exactly did that take place? From the womb? No. At his baptism. Praise the Lord. Now I've told you that before, right? Luke 3:21. Let's see that quickly. You know, you don't anoint God. Do you know that? You don't anoint God, but you can anoint a man. Okay? So Luke 3:21. Do you get what I just said? Are you sure? Okay. Luke 3:21. Are you sure? Alright. Luke 3:21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, some people miss that, while he prayed, come on, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. Observe, it doesn't say the Holy Spirit is a dove, right? It says he descended like a dove. Do you get it? Okay, the same way a dove descends. Amen. Okay, let me move on quickly. It says, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, underlined from thou to him. Okay, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You see that then? So this marked the beginning of his earthly ministry. He's anointed by the Spirit. This is where this happened. Do you get it? Okay, it came upon him to carry out God's task on the earth. You know, Isaiah 11 had spoken about this earlier on. Let's see that quickly. Isaiah 11, 1 or 2. Isaiah 11, 1 or 2. It says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. I've explained to you what this means, right? Okay, at this time, the house of David had fallen. So the house of David is likened to a fallen tree, right? Then what happens to a fallen tree over time? When it's moisturized, begins to grow back, right? Okay, so it says, a rod from the stem of Jesse. Do you get it? And a branch will grow out. So something will grow out from that fallen family. Do you get it? So that's an imagery. Look at verse 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Underline from that to him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now this was fulfilled at his baptism. Do you get it? You see, it says the spirit of might, right? And learn that, okay, might. Then he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Then Peter zeroes in on the message of the gospel. Back to Acts 10 now. Acts 10:39. It says, and we there being the apostles, are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. On the line from whom to tree. So here, what do we find? The death of Jesus. Come on. Okay. Now, it was hung on a cross made out of wood. Right? Now, where do you get wood from? A tree. So there is no cause for issues. So was Jesus hung on a tree? Was he hung on a cross? Where do you get the cross from? Do you get it? So the Jewish people call it a tree. The Greeks would say a cross. Is that clear? Alright, now this happens, is hung on a tree or the cross, Okay, in fulfillment of Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23. Remember, their message is from where? The Old Testament. Hallelujah. Have you seen this so far? Okay, look at Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23. I would like you, please, just turn there. Okay, look at it. Is that understood? Okay, Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23. It says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death and is put to death and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And look at this. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Underline that. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So to be hung on a tree meant you're cursed. You see that there? In the Jewish thought. Now that is exactly why Jesus was crucified. Why? Because Jesus was bearing our curse. Praise the Lord. Okay? The curse of sin and death, which comes by the law. So you see, that was not an accident. Come on. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know, he would have died anyway. Any other way. Right? But that cross is symbolic. Praise the Lord. Look at how Paul explains this. Galatians 3 verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So I'm redeemed. So I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. On the line from Christ to law, okay? It says, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curse is anyone who hangs on a tree. See that? So it's quoting Deuteronomy, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the law cursed everyone who did not obey it with death. See verse 10, Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Underline, are under the curse. For it is written, curse is anyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that is Deuteronomy 27 verse 26. So under the law, if you obey 99%, you're still cursed. Do you get it? Okay, you obey 99% of the law, you break 1%, you're still cursed. Now most men don't even obey 99. Who do you know? Praise the Lord. Okay, most men break most of it now on a daily basis. Not once in their life. On a daily basis. Okay, so since man has broken the law, man is under that curse. Do you get it now? That curse of death. Jesus then dies in his place. Praise the Lord. Do you get it now? So that cross is therefore a symbol. The cross of Christ is a symbol of the curse that we deserved falling upon him. Do you get it? That curse is what? The curse of death, right? Which comes on any man who sins, right? Okay, now that curse, he takes in our place. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he dies in our place. But notice what Peter says, verse 40, Acts 10. He says, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so although he took that curse of death in our place, he did not stay dead. Praise the Lord. Okay, he is raised the third day. The prophet Hosea spoke concerning this. Let's see that. Hosea 6 2. Hosea 6 2. Are you there? Hosea chapter 6 verse 2. Please turn your Bible there. I'll wait for you. Hosea 6 2. It says, after 2 days, it will revive us on the third day. Underline that. On the third day, it will raise us up that we may live. Underline that. We may live in his sight. Do you see that? So he speaks of Yahweh reviving them. He speaks of Yahweh raising them up that they may live. Now, us and we here originally is Israel. You follow that? The Jewish people. But remember, Israel has failed, right? Okay, now this finds fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is that true Israel of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this prophecy will find fulfillment in him. So Jesus is raised from the dead and he appears physically, okay? Not spiritually, physically to many. See verse 41, Acts 10. Acts 10, 41. It says, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God. Underline that, to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, underline us, okay, that is the apostles. That's us there, okay? The apostles, underline that, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Underline that, after he arose from the dead. So the apostles of Christ were given a special privilege. You follow that? To see the resurrected Christ. And that is why they are called eyewitnesses. Luke 1:2. You know, you today, you don't have to see Christ. Follow that? You don't have to. Praise the Lord. You don't have to. Your faith is not based on that. Praise the Lord. Trustingly, your faith is based on words. Words are presented to you and you believe. Those of this world will call it stupid. How can you believe what you can't see? Well, praise the Lord. It's faith. Alright, but that privilege of seeing Jesus was reserved for the apostles of the Lamb. Do you get it? Okay. The 12 initially, then 11, because Judas, you know, hung himself. Now notice something important as well in verse 41, Acts 10. It says, they ate and drank with Jesus after he was raised. Do you see that there? They ate with him, they drank with him after he was raised. Now this detail is not insignificant. Do you follow that? You say, what does that have to do with anything? They ate and drank with him. No, it's not. Okay, it's not. It seems insignificant until you understand what it means. Eating and drinking means they were not hallucinating. Come on. Amen. They did not see a ghost. Spirits do not eat. Do you follow that? But Jesus, after being raised, ate. So this shows that Jesus was really alive. Praise the Lord. In the flesh. And you find three instances recorded of this in the four Gospels. Three instances, okay, where Jesus ate actually. Now let's run through them quickly. Luke 24 verse 30. Are you learning so far? I thank you very much. Luke 24, 30 says, now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread. Come on. The bread didn't fall from his hands. Alright. He took bread, blessed, and broke it. That implies eaten. Do you follow that? And gave it to them. He broke it to be eaten. Now, the them here are Cleopas and the other disciple. You follow that? On the road to Emmaus. Or they had gone into Emmaus at this point. Okay, then again in verse 36 of that same chapter, he appears to his disciples. Verse 36. It says, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Underline that. Suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Undo me. Praise the Lord. Underline that, okay? Undo me. That is, touch me and see. Underline that. Undo me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Praise the Lord. Underline from our to our bones, okay? 40 says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? Do you get it? Emunjewa. Okay. Have you any other food here? Underline that, okay? Have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Hallelujah. Online from here to presence, okay? So he actually ate to prove that he was alive. Men who are alive eat. Amen. Okay. Then lastly, in John 21, you see that again. He ate there. John chapter 21, verse 13. So do you see that was not insignificant? Do you see that now? It wasn't. John 21, verse 13. It says, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. 14 says, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Underline that, after he was raised from the dead. 15. So when they, the disciples plus Jesus, okay, had eaten breakfast. Come on. Underline that, okay? They had eaten breakfast. You're laughing. Jesus ate breakfast. That's a doctrine. Always eat breakfast. Even our Lord ate breakfast. Don't just run to work. Anything can... People can get doctrine from anywhere. I'm serious. No, someone said, Acts 6. Get men full of the Holy Spirit. Appoint them over this business. Said that business there is your job. Occupation. So get men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit. Appoint them over your business. That's how your business will thrive. silly. Okay, so he ate breakfast, amen. Okay, that amen is quite loud. Okay, Jesus said, oh, we are fasting. Oh, I get it now. Jesus said to Simon Peter, okay, this old talk of eating. Oh, okay, I get it now. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Jesus eating is part of the gospel. You see that there? Okay, it proves his resurrection. Dead men do not eat. So you can say this way, Jesus died, he was buried, he was raised, and he ate. Praise the Lord. To prove that he was really alive. Now, verse 42, Acts 10, as we close. Verse 42, Acts 10. Now, not only is he raised, he also commissions his church to preach the gospel. Verse 42, he says, and he commanded us to preach, underline that, he commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge. Underline from ordained to judge, okay, of the living and the dead. Now, he is raised as Lord of all, and one day, Jesus is going to judge all men. That's what this is saying. Look at John 5, verse 22. John 5, verse 22. It says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. You see that? Online from house to Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now that judgment would have to do with the gospel. You follow that? It's not just arbitrary, okay? It will have to do with the gospel. Look at verse 24, John 5, verse 24. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes, underline that. Can we call that faith? Okay, underline that. And believes in him who sent me as everlasting life. Anyone like that here? Praise the Lord. Okay, and shall not come into judgment. Praise the Lord. Is this clear? Underline that, okay? Shall not come into judgment. I wonder how Christians can see texts like this and still say a Christian goes to hell. Is this clear? Okay, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. 25 says, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, underline that, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good, and good in context of verse 24 is what? Faith. Come on. Believing. Okay, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, what would that be in context? Not believed. Do you get it now? Okay, to the resurrection of the condemnation. So you see that the basis for judgment is man's response to the gospel. Okay, man's response to the gospel, either faith or unbelief and rejection. Okay, then Peter says in verse 43, Acts 10, verse 43, it says to him, all the prophets witness, now they witness in the scriptures, that is Genesis to Malachi, that through his name, whoever, come on, whoever, whether Jew or Gentile, you can say, underline whoever, okay, believes in him, will receive remission of sins. So that was the message of the Old Testament, forgiveness of sins through Christ for all men. Praise the Lord. That was the message of Genesis to Malachi, forgiveness of sins for all men. Isaiah calls this light. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 49 verse 6, he says, indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, that is Ebed Yahweh, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved one of Israel. Underline that, okay, Israel. I will also give you, that is the Christ, as a light to the Gentiles. Underline that, as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Underline that, to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So the testimony of the Old Testament is that salvation is universal. You see that there? To the ends of the earth. It is for all men, as many as believe. Now, see the result of Peter's preaching as we close. You think he did a good job? You think so? Okay. Now look at Acts 10:44 as we close. Acts 10:44. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. Hallelujah. Online heard, okay? All those here will refer to Cornelius and his family, non-Jews, the Gentiles. Come on. Okay? It says they heard the word. The word heard here, it translates the Greek akouo, A-K-O-U-O. A-K-O-U-O, the last O accentuated. Here, it refers to an obedient hearing. You follow that? It can be used for several things. Alright, but here, contextually, it refers to an obedient hearing. You can say a hearing of faith. Do you get it? Just like Romans 10 verse 17 says. It says, so then, faith comes by what? Hearing. Underline that, okay? Hearing. And hearing, underline that, hearing, by the word of God. The Greek says, the message of the Christ. Praise the Lord. So they believed the gospel. Okay? And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They received both salvation and the infilling of the Spirit at once. Okay? So they are saved and they spoke in tongues immediately. See, that can happen today. Amen? Okay? So they are saved, spoke in tongues at once. See how verse 45 says it. Acts 10. It says, and those of the circumcision, that is Jews, who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you know what God is saying here? He's screaming, I want the world. I want the world. I want the world. You get it? Okay, no one is left out of this gift. Okay, it is poured out on the Gentiles also. Underline from that also, okay? For they heard them speak with tongues, underline from they to tongues, and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water? Ha! Ogapiti room. You started well. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized? Ha! Okay? Who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. You see that? So he got them saved. And what does he do? He baptizes them in water. But you know, we've said that the church in Acts is an early church, right? A developing church, right? So that means that many of the practices that you find in the book of Acts were still evolving. Do you follow that? You know that water baptism was to end with Jesus. Do you know that? Okay, John 1, 31 to 34. John baptized to reveal Jesus to the people. That was the essence of water baptism. Do you follow that? John baptized to reveal Jesus to the people. Water baptism was to stop at Jesus. Do you follow that? Okay, but the early church continued. Alright? Then it wasn't until much later through Paul that we realized that we are not meant to baptize new converts anymore. Is that clear? Realize that through Paul. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. So do you see Peter was still growing? Come on. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. Just let's see that. Turn your Bible there. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. It says, for Christ did not send me to baptize. Clear? Clear? Underline that, okay? For Christ did not send me to baptize. You know, Paul wouldn't say this if water baptism was essential for salvation. Right? Okay? It says, but to preach the gospel. Aha. Get it? Underline that, okay? Preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Praise the Lord. Okay, so much later on, water baptism stopped, amen, in the early church, although today we have some who have taken it up again. Amen. Okay, so we see in Acts 10 that the gospel is for all men. Do you see that there? The story of Cornelius is to teach that. Okay, orchestrated by God, that both Jew and Gentile receive salvation the same way. God does not discriminate. God never has discriminated right from the Old Testament. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. We continue from here. Thank him.